Hello, Watch Nerds, and welcome back. This is your host, Nico, and today I'm meeting a writer, musician, inventor, watchmaker. I'm saying hello and welcome to Holme from Levenag Watches, Sweden.
Wow, you were talking about me.
Yes.
Sounded very nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you for having me. And this is my first podcast experience, so it's going to be very interesting.
I'm fascinated by you. You have written books. You're a musician. You have invented a bunch of stuff, as your dad did. And you still have time to be a father. When do you find the time?
Well, that's not easy. I mean, a lot of work is actually sort of in one's head. I would say like more than 50% probably. It's just planning stuff, and that can be done, you know, anytime. But actually making watches is that's a bit harder, but it works. Just takes some time to finish stuff.
It really does. Now, before we go into the name, what's in your cup and what's on your wrist?
In my cup, some green tea given to my wife by one of her friends, I think. And on my wrist is Levenag 41, which I made more than 10 years ago now, I think. Still works.
On my wrist, I also have one of your watches, which you will explain more about later, because we didn't really go into details. I wanted to leave this for the podcast. It's one of your smaller creation and more unique, if I may say so. And in my cup is Swedish Lövsparelilla. And tell me about yourself and the name.
Yeah, the name. I come from a small island, first of all. That's where things started, off the west coast in Sweden. And my father had his workshop out there. He still got it now, but we live on the mainland. But anyway, so I kind of grew up in a workshop. I started assisting him aged 5 or 6 years, I think. I must have been a really lousy assistant for a few years, but gradually I think I managed to learn a few things.
What kind of workshop was that?
It was, I don't know, maybe 50% repair work, mainly outboard engines for sort of boats and stuff, and also manufacturing of parts and his inventions, a few machines and stuff he came up with. There's a lot of equipment one could play around with as a kid, which is quite cool. I've sort of stayed true to that sort of technical thing ever since. I work as an engineer now, as I think you mentioned. And of course, I've been making watches for 10 years now. And thankfully, I have a family who sort of supports me. My wife is a graphic designer and so sort of creative person herself, and we spend quite a few evenings working on our respective stuffs.
So, does she get involved in any way in the work process? Does she give you feedback and
yes,
tells you, hey, you can probably do this nicer, more elegant or whatever?
Yeah, she does. And not least when it comes to sort of my website, of course. She knows a lot more about that stuff than I do, but she's great.
The name.
The brand name. I wanted to, this is like 2010, I think. I wanted to record soundtrack music, sort of write and record, and a double album. And of course, I needed a story to sort of write the score. And the story was Levenag, which I came up with, and I later wrote the book Levenag. And when I started making watches, I needed a brand name, and preferably something nobody else used. So that sort of fantasy name was quite appropriate.
Does it mean anything?
No, in the story, it's just like a country or a world.
It's a place, magic place.
Yeah, some kind of place. Not surprisingly, it consists of many small islands. So,
like Finland and Sweden. Plenty of those
yes,
around.
Yes, exactly. And of course, every new watch model also gets its name from some place or person in this book. So that's another link.
Have you been long into watches?
Well, I was, as a small kid, collecting cheap watches and clocks. But I think the sort of stuff I'm doing now started when I wanted to buy a decent watch for the very first time in 2013, I think. And I couldn't find the watch I was sort of looking for. I wanted something like very old diving equipment, that sort of design language. But I couldn't find it, and then someone said, well, why don't you just buy a mechanical movement and make the rest of the watch yourself, because he knew I had this had access to this workshop. So that's what we did. And some manual ETA movement. I then found some bits and pieces in the workshop which I could use for the watch parts, like an old bronze propeller shaft bearing and so on.
That's really cool. And you said it so nonchalant. Well, there was just this propeller shaft or whatever you just said. That's so cool.
Well,
that you can just
it
see,
was perfect.
You can see watch in it. To me, it's just a tube, metal tube.
Yeah, it is.
You saw watch in it.
You know, it's 41 millimeters. I mean, come on, that's a watch waiting for you, right?
And then what was the next step? Yeah. You did, of course, your research, and then you made a crystal, your first crystal you made yourself. Prototyping, there is no limits there. I'm sure you can clearly recall your landing your first customer. Can you tell me what that was like?
Yeah, I think one of my colleagues, I don't remember which one, but no, that was very nice. And people were very supportive also, I must say, which was quite nice. The first few watches I just made for myself and also for one of my brothers, I think. But then people started ordering watches and tailor-made watches.
And
I only later understand... Sorry?
Sorry, go on.
Yeah. No, only quite recently I've sort of realized how... rare that is, that sort of service, or that you can actually as a customer design your own watch and have it made, because mostly I think it's just you have a few different colors you can choose from or materials, but to actually be able to sort of change the entire shape of a case and so on, that's I think quite rare.
And the demand is growing by the minute. As I said in just on a recent episode that today everyone wants to have one of one, everyone wants to be unique, nobody wants to have what the other people have, so the demand is growing by the minute. And good that we have you, we have a few other brands here in the Nordics that can accommodate this selfish demand.
Selfish demand, I think you're true. Yes,
but tell me about your design process.
Yes.
There are certain design language clues in all your watches, or most of your watches. You have the a lot of glass, a lot of crystal, a big crown. The materials are similar. You like aluminum. You like brass or copper. What else?
Did you mention titanium? That's very important. I always make the case back of titanium to avoid sort of allergic reactions. Otherwise, I think it's, apart from the choice of material, I think it's this kind of link to the marine or maritime world, which, I mean, coming from an island, I sort of have that within me, I think. And I've also been working as an engineer. I normally work within the within shipbuilding and ship design. So that's always nice to have this kind of marine link. But otherwise, actually, the design process can be quite different. In some cases, like the one behind me, the Metlinen 38 B. No, the Metlinen 38 B was kind of driven by the customer's own design ideas to a very large extent, and we sort of cooperated on that one. Whereas the one I'm making at the moment is that's a Solimir 42, where the customer said, well, I want a blue dial, but the rest I leave to you. It's either me on my own designing or cooperating with the customer. So there are a few different kind of approaches.
How important is to you that your signature is still there in the watch, or do you leave the customer to go wild and choose what he wants because he's going to own the piece?
So far, that hasn't been a problem. I mean, I there are certain things I won't do, like using gold or any sort of expensive materials or that sort of affect, nature in a too bad way. But so far, there hasn't been any problems. And people are always very sort of, they always ask me if I'm okay with everything they suggest. And so far the ideas have been good. And
is any sustainable aspect to making the watches? Are you conscious about materials and waste and all that?
I'm very conscious. And also I've actually been trying to find good vegan straps, for instance, but so far I haven't succeeded. So let me know if you have any suggestions. But there is this thing of material waste, which is a problem. I try to avoid it. I sort of recycle as much as possible. But of course, when you make kind of bespoke watches, it's very hard to get a sort of good flow in that sort of, process, like collecting bronze in a certain container and so on. I'm very aware, and I don't waste any resources.
Tell me about the piece I have for testing.
Yes, it's called Lakeland 38, and you had a good explanation there, I think, or way of describing it. It has a dial that sort of almost floats within the case. It's connected to the case by a quite narrow little bridge, something, which is an idea that came up 9 years ago, I think, when somebody ordered a watch for his wife or girlfriend who turned 30. And he said, can you remove portions of the dial? And we started playing around with different ideas. And then because we were both working within ship design. And there's a thing called thrusters, which are used for propulsion of ships and oil rigs. And they have that sort of design where there's just one tiny connection between the propeller and the hull. We tried that sort of design and it worked, and I revisited that idea now a few years ago when I made this one, and I think it looks quite nice. It's quite light, and it's a lot of glass.
There's a lot of crystal here.
It's kind of I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of,
it's a crystal sandwich.
Yes, there's a lot of air in it.
There is a gap, a lot of gap between the crystal and then the inner case. I don't know if I can say even the inner case, but it's an inner case. And what I like here are the proportions. The lugs are the same thickness as the outer case, because there is a gap between the case and the inner case that you can literally see through. And they're identical size, which is, I love that. I think any other lugs will take away from the flow. I like the crown, which is, honestly, I would not have this crown on any other watch unless it's custom and works with the crown, but this works very nicely. And what I also like is the choice of materials. You have a aluminum core, or inner case with
high strength aluminium.
And it's treated. I can see that this is no raw aluminum. It's a bit dark to be raw.
Yeah, I think if I remember this correctly, it's laser treated, like a sort of matte light gray finish.
There is some
treatment.
And then you have, is that brass on the site?
I often use brass for prototypes because it's easier to
work with. Then you have a titanium case back, so it doesn't it doesn't affect people with let's say
like nickel allergies and stuff,
for example, or psoriasis and all that. The last thing is the size of the strap. This just perfectly fits 18 millimeter, and the gap between the strap and the case, it's well calculated. It doesn't hang. This works. The sensitive question, how much is made in your workshop?
That's not sensitive. I make the case from scratch, and I make the crown, the dial, and the kind of retaining ring that keeps the movement in place, and the case back, and the hands also, yes. Everything from scratch.
So movement, gaskets, and crystal is what's left.
And strap. I did make my own straps once upon a time, but
you did.
Somebody said this is not good enough, so I just thought, well, let's just buy them instead. Exactly.
He was a watch nerd. We are a picky bunch. Watch nerds.
No, it's even worse. It was my mother.
Oh no.
Oh, that's a nice watch. She said, I will change the strap. And I thought, okay, thank you.
That hurts.
Enough feedback.
But that's with every beginning, mate. Now, what's next for the brand? I'm sure you're working on something behind the scenes. Any new models coming up?
Yes. First, I have to finish a Solimir 42, a slightly different version of it with an anodized dial, Mediterranean blue. And after that, I'm working on a concept for a new watch with a disc instead of hands. I'll give you more details later, I think. But that's going to be quite interesting. And also, kids' watches might be the next thing. They're 1 and 3 years old now, so I think the first watch should be quite around the corner. There's also a version of the Metlinen series coming up, potentially. I should be quite busy the next few months.
Before we wrap this up, did I miss anything? Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'm sure there is.
We do it next time.
We'll do it next time, maybe.
Sounds good. I think that's it for today. The watches will be available on 14th of October on Stockholm Times, on the event. So if you'd like to see these watches, find me and Holme in Stockholm on the event and have a chat with us. And until then, if you have any questions, recommendations, if you just want to chat with me and Holme, find us on Instagram and ask all your questions. And until then, remember, what's beyond horology is time and people. Respect them both. Goodbye.
Bye.